Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raise Nation Radio, broadcasting live from AFP Icon here in beautiful Seattle, Washington. I'm your host, Steve Lausch from One Cause, and I'm thrilled to be here at AFP Icon, where fundraisers from around the world are coming together to elevate impact and spark some change. As a proud Icon sponsor, One Cause is excited to celebrate the innovation, the passion, and some incredible work happening across the nonprofit sector. So stay tuned. We've got powerful conversations, fresh insights, and the energy of the AFP International Conference coming your way. And we're back on the show floor at AFP Icon 2025. I'm your host, Steve Lausch, here at Raise Nation Radio, and I have Steve Johns, the CEO of One Cause. Steve, I know you're a busy man. It is so good to get you in the seat in a couple minutes with you here behind the mic. How are you?
I am great, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good to have
always
you.
Always a pleasure.
Well, I know you're a busy guy and a lot of people to talk with, and you could have been a number of places today, but you are here at Icon, and you're here at Icon every year. What makes this conference a must attend?
That's a great question, Steve. And I've been here for a couple of days and just really kind of like say sensing the vibe of, yes, of the conference. And here's what I would say. We've heard this expression a number of times. We're living in such uncertain times or in the context of what's happening in our environment. So what I would say is this, I'm here and what I'm experiencing is what I hope everybody is experiencing, to connect as a community. When we're under duress, when we're under pressure, when we're under uncertainty, it's so great for people to come together as a community and connect. And again, Icon is special. Icon is the largest gathering of fundraisers in, yes, the course of a year. And walking around, it's so important for people to connect with each other and share their stories and learn that they're not alone. They're not alone in their struggle. And whatever they're going through, whether their organization is under pressure or whether their donors are under pressure because of what's happening in the stock market or with inflation or any other kind of macroeconomic terms, we're seeing that. We're starting to see the impact of that. And this is a great place for people to come together and share those stories and really let people know that they're not alone and we're all in this together.
It is so true. There's almost a sense of resonance and harmony. People are coming in from, quote unquote, the outside. This is a safe space. They're enjoying one another. They're gearing up for going, right, back home. It's fantastic.
Right. Thousands of fundraisers are gathering together and maybe, let's say, fueling up to go back and do their job and to go and be fearless fundraisers through the rest of 2025. And we know that there is still uncertainty left in this year. And we're going to see it. There's some headwinds that we have to all go and really take on. But what a great way for people to recharge and basically fuel up for the rest of the year.
Well, a lot of them, Steve, are going to be listening to this podcast as we get this prepared over the next day or so. And we're going to release this with a number of interviews that we've been having over the last few days. And I want to make sure I give you the opportunity to say, hey, Steve, what would you tell these thousands of fundraisers that are here? What's on your mind, on your heart?
So I guess what I would say is this, and I've heard various versions of this in the couple of days of sessions that I've been in, and I also firmly believe it, and you probably know that I firmly believe this as well. These also are emotional times. In times of uncertainty, they're emotional. And so what I would say is, in the context of emotional times, let the data speak. If you're a fundraiser and you're trying to convince your board of doing something, taking on a project, don't approach it from a emotional standpoint. Get the data. Convince folks with the data. And similarly, if you are a team leader and your team is trying to present something to you and convince you of something, let's not let emotions drive that decision. Let's ask for the data. Get the data. It's so important. And you're going to start to be, once you have the good data, you're going to sort through and say, well, is it everyone who feels this way? Or is it maybe just a few people, a few loud people, a few noisy people? Yes. And let the data speak, because data just has a way of cutting through all of the emotions.
That's good. That's good. Speaking of data, there's a great new report put out by One Cause on auctions and what truly is the data behind the auctions of today and how they fit into events. So I'm not going to miss the opportunity to share that with our audience as well. And there's other news coming out of One Cause this week. Anything that is of your particular favorite list?
100%. So we're really excited about adding Stripe to our One Cause payments solution set for our customer base. And so Stripe represents a leader in innovation in really going to take us to the next level from a technology standpoint. Now, it is a superior customer experience, and the onboarding, the reconciliation, you know, all of the areas that sometimes our customers have issues with or get caught up in. It is seamless. It is just a very beautiful experience. Now, also looking to the future, Stripe is a technology company that is going to help us grow and expand. And again, just be able to bring more creative solutions in the area of credit card processing to our customers that we don't have today. Really excited about Stripe.
Oh, it's so fantastic. And one of the things I love about it the most, Steve, is that it offers benefit to the nonprofit, of course, but it also offers benefit in the donor experience. Because at the end of the day, that donor, that heart has to be won.
Yeah, and you can't have any friction in that process. You just can't get in the way of that donation. So anything that we can do to eliminate friction from a donor perspective, we're going to make available to our customers.
I love it. And there's such fantastic news coming out of One Cause this week. I know you're busy. Let me ask one last question. And I'm looking over your shoulder at a stack of books with the word Fearless on it.
Yes.
You authored Fearless Leadership Lessons at the Crossroad last year. Such a great work, by the way. We have thousands of fundraisers heading back home. What encouragement would you have for them to be fearless in the coming days and weeks?
So again, back to this, the context in which we're living. You know that Fearless started with a series of letters that I wrote to the company, and I'm starting to do that again in 2025. In the last letter that I wrote to the company, I refer to the period of time in which we're in as the great uncertainty, in quotes, like the great recession, the great uncertainty. And so fearlessness, by definition, the definition of fearlessness is being willing and able to move forward despite the great uncertainty that is before us. And so there is no better time or place than today in this world of tremendous uncertainty to be fearless. Okay, so again, then what does that mean? What that means is just taking action, making a plan and taking action and not letting yourself get bogged down by the paralysis of analysis. And so when everyone gets on their planes and goes back to their homes, okay, fearlessness is about, despite this being an uncertain amount, a certain time, don't be afraid to take action. Don't be afraid to do big things, because 2025 is going to be a big year, but it is going to continue to be filled with uncertainty.
I love that. I love it. It's fantastic encouragement. It's practical. It's inspirational. And I'll just say this to the audience listening. If they have not read Fearless yet, they can get a copy of that on Amazon for sure, Barnes & Noble's as well.
Steve, I appreciate that. If I may, I just wanted to add one more thing, because as I see people walk by, it just gave me another thought about what I'm hearing here at the conference. I think that today marks about the 5 years and a month or so from removed from the pandemic. And that seems like that's crazy, right?
Crazy.
5 years ago. And I think in 2022 and thereafter, what we kind of wanted to do is not talk about the pandemic. We kind of wanted to forget about it. I think we had a little bit of PTSD about what we went through. I have not heard more references to the pandemic than I have in the last 2 days.
That is so true.
It is so true. People are just saying, like we did in the pandemic, just like we did with COVID, it is happening. And so I would also recommend that get dust off that COVID playbook, dust off that pandemic playbook, because those are the types of threats that we're facing today. That's the type of uncertainty that we face today. And guess what? We've gotten through it.
Yes.
And so the other word that just popped into my mind that I really wanted to leave people with is resilience.
Yes.
Resilience, I think, will be the word of 2025, because resilience was the word for the pandemic. Despite everything that was thrown at people from an adversity standpoint, you stand strong and show your resilience, and that's how people are going to get through 2025.
We're going to leave it at that. That's fantastic. Resilience. Steve John, CEO of One Cause, joining me here in the One Cause booth at AFP Icon 2025. Thanks so much for joining us, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Welcome back to Raise Nation Radio, live here at AFP Icon 2025. I have the pleasure of talking with Matt Bitsagai, CEO of DonorDocs CRM. Matt, it is so good to have you. I know you're a busy guy. You are all over this place. You're in and out of your booth. You're talking to all the right people and getting all the right things done, which is what we're going to talk about today. But thank you for taking a couple minutes to spend some time with us here in the One Cause booth. Welcome.
Absolutely. I appreciate you inviting me, Steve. It's exciting to get to talk to you.
Well, I'm excited because we're going to talk about some things that are going to hit nonprofits, can I say it this way, right between the eyes, and some really good things that, frankly, at the end of the day, help them help their missions, yes. Right? And you and I were talking just a minute ago offline about this concept of productivity. Now, we throw that word around, but it means something a little bit more near and dear and deep to the team at DonorDoc. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, you know, we just like you guys, we talk to so many nonprofits all the time, and we just keep hearing the same challenges that so many of the organizations we work with, like the should list,
yes.
Just keeps piling up.
Yes.
They've got all the things they know they should be doing. They come to an event, they listen on a webinar, they read a blog, and all these shoulds pile up. I should call a donor. I should run this report. Should. And so, you know, as we've been thinking through that, what we realized is that everyone deals with this, but the actual, like, translating that list of shoulds into, like, meaningful action of, like, what do I do, like, this week? What do I do today? Like, what do I do right now?
That's hard.
It's so hard. And so, you know, that's just something we've been really looking at. How can we come alongside nonprofits and start to help take that burden, like figure out how do we help them translate that should list into like a done list? And like, you know, there's something really powerful about just like getting things and the right things done. And so that's where that comes from for us, is like really trying to come alongside and help there.
I love that. And I'm going to wax personal a little bit here for a second, because when I walk away from my desk, I usually walk away feeling either it's done or it's not done. So I think you really hit on something that's going to resonate with a lot of people with that theme.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to just get things done for the sake of getting them done, right? It's important that the work you're getting done is the right work.
Right.
But there is something very powerful about that, and that feeling of I'm done with this and I am confident. When we think about productivity, we want them to not only get it done, but then be confident that the work they got done today, we want our customers to go to bed at night knowing that was the right work. And
yes.
It made an impact, and yes. I can feel good about my day today.
Yes.
And I think there's something very powerful about that.
100%, because you sow the right seeds at the right time, in the right environment, you're going to get a crop. And that's what we're looking for. So let's go a little deeper, and maybe one or two examples of how nonprofits would experience this value working through the should list differently.
Yeah. Well, one of the ways that we think it makes a lot of sense is starting to lean into this concept of like, and you hear it a lot, but the idea of like donor journeys. So
yes.
Meaning that there are, you know, a donor has a life cycle within any nonprofit that they support, right? They start as a non-donor, typically. They become a donor at some point. Hopefully they can continue to donate. Maybe they become a major donor at some point. And then at some point, they likely become a lapsed donor. So there's this life cycle that happens with donors. And obviously, we want to delay that lapsed stage as long as we possibly
sure.
can. We've been looking at it and saying, so many of our customers are the people that we talk to, they don't have a solid process around that life cycle. And so we've identified like six key journeys that we feel like every nonprofit should be managing these six journeys. So it's the prospect journey, like, you know, when they haven't given, the first time gift, somebody becomes a recurring donor,
right.
A mid-level donor, a major donor, and a lapsed donor. So these six kind of cover that life cycle. And so when we were thinking about how can we help people turn the should list, which is, again, very difficult to kind of turn into action, these journeys is where we landed to say, with these journeys defined and the life cycle defined, now we can tell them, this is what you need to do today. And they don't have to keep track of all this. You know, I might enter a journey. I might give my donation. And that journey that we are looking at, that's a 60-day journey that donor goes through with multiple touch points, for example. And it's like, you can't keep track of all that just in a spreadsheet. You can't keep track of it. So there's your should list. The should list is, I know this donor gave, and I was able to get a thank you out today. And I know I should do more than that. But I don't know when or what to do besides that. And so trying to like provide them that real time, like guidance or nudge, we call them nudges, but that guidance around like today is the day that you need to do this because the donor entered this journey X number of days ago. And now it's time to take this action today. Right. And so now I've taken that nebulous should that I know should something should be happening. And now I've turned it into something tangible and something.
You have a path, you have a track.
Exactly. And so the idea is that donors are entering these journeys all the time at very different times. So it starts to get away from the one to many, like we're going to only engage with donors with our monthly newsletter email, or when we need money, we're going to send out an appeal, right? And it gets to where you, on any given day, there may be 5-6 things that you need to do to move a donor through whatever stage of whatever journey they're in. But trying to keep track of that manually, that just adds to the should list. And so we're trying to translate that into like, this is the time, this is what you should do right now. So I use the word should, probably shouldn't have done that.
I love it though, that's
but,
okay.
You know, this is what you need to do today to really make that connection with that donor and keep them moving through that life cycle.
I laugh in part, Matt, because I can tell you're internalizing this. Like this is a belief for your group, your team, your company. And so much good comes when it hits the belief level. So cheers and keep going on that. I also love this idea that there is a right path. There is a right time. There is a right way to script out what done means. And then let's get it done.
Yeah. And then, you know, we have this awesome, we're in this awesome time where we can now start to also like, we've got some cool AI things that we're doing within that.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we realized is, so these journeys, they're kind of a combination of like automated touch points and then nudges for that. This is a time when a human needs to make a connection with this person, with this donor. But these automated touch points, of course, we need content for those automated touch points that go out, the emails and that sort of thing. And one of the barriers that we were seeing in adoption of the journeys was somebody has to sit down and write 20 emails that span across all these different journeys. And so we've been working on this really cool little wizard that they put a few pieces of information in about the organization. It goes out, it scrapes their website, gathers impact stories, gathers all this information. Wow. And then AI writes all of these emails for them and they're bespoke to that organization. So now, you know, they're very customized in and tell the story of that organization. And we tell people like AI is not perfect. So you probably want to review it. But I think we all can agree, like, it's a lot easier to edit something that's 95% of the way there than it is to start from zero and create something new. And so we've got some AI happening there. And then in the nudges themselves, we're trying to provide, we're running the nudge, like this step of the journey, this is what the step they're on. Here's some information about the donor and our relationship with them and so forth. What should we do for this specific donor at this step in this journey? And so the nudges are actually unique to each donor versus just a generic, like you should pick up the phone and make a thank you call. Well, that might be a good option if the person likes to get phone calls. But if the person prefers email and you see that in the data, they open your emails, but they never answer your phone calls, the system can say, hey, this is a time where a personal email to this person might make sense, or a text message, or whatever that looks like. And so we're starting to be able to take some of these AI tools and kind of obfuscate the complexity of that away from customers, but getting value out of it in how we're able to leverage it within these journeys. So now you're taking it from not just knowing that it's time to do something, but knowing what's the next best thing I should do here for this donor.
And the should list, as you've been calling it, is, at least in my experience, it's often general. Mm-hmm. I kind of know I should do this for this, but What you're telling me is with the journeys and the nudges and the AI, which we all just need to realize, like, AI doesn't need to be coded. It doesn't need to be programmed. So much of AI in the nonprofit tech sector is just there, and it works, and it's there to help you. So be encouraged, nonprofit. You're listening today. This is really in CRMs today, and this is able to help you today. And you don't have to live in that nebulous world of should. Yeah. By the way, I'm a product marketer, mm-hmm. so I'm in messaging, and this I'm sitting up straight, as you see. Like, this is exciting stuff.
We have some shirts over at the booth that say, stop shooting all over yourself. And on the back, it says, DonorDoc helps get should done. But I mean, the idea you know, again, I just think there's something really powerful about taking that thing that feels really heavy. And to your point, a lot of times feels really ambiguous. I don't know exactly what to do. I have this feeling that I should be doing something. Yeah. Turning that into something that is like very concrete. I can sit down and I can do these things today,
yes.
and feel really confident in it.
That's fantastic. And Matt, we see you later on this year, as I understand. Yep. There's a little get together in San Antonio, Texas.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it very much.
Yeah, I played a big role last year in Raise conference at Nashville. There's the word I was looking for, Nashville, Tennessee. We packed out the Country Music Hall of Fame 2 years in a row. This year, we're moving to San Antonio down on the Riverwalk. It's going to be awesome. DonorDoc will be there, Matt and the team. So looking forward to that. But listen, Matt, thank you so much. You've been listening to Matt Bitsgaio, a CEO from DonorDoc CRM. Thank you so much for spending time for us.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, everyone. Steve Losch back here on the floor at AFP Icon 2025. And I am so privileged to have Christy Jones from HeartGift in beautiful Austin, Texas.
Yes. Hi, Steve.
Hi. So good
to see you.
Good to see you, too. And I appreciate Christy just taking a couple minutes with us. I'll just say right out of the gate, we work with you and you work with us.
We do. Yes. We at HeartGift, we use One Cause for all of our events. Our biggest one is our Party with a Purpose fundraiser that we actually just had a couple of weeks ago. And then, so that is an event where One Cause comes in and really gets involved with us. We have staff on, you know, on site at our events, and we use it for the silent auction, the live auction. We use it for raffles, all the things. We text all of our donors through it. You know, I think we use all the features of One Cause.
Oh, that is awesome.
That way.
I love hearing that, yeah. and I always love hearing from customers about this is how we're able to move our mission forward with the technology. But let's actually focus on the mission for a second. Tell us, and those listening in the audience, HeartGift, what do you do?
Absolutely. HeartGift provides life-saving heart surgeries for children who are born with heart defects, but they live in areas of the world where surgery is not available. They need just one surgery to save their life. And it's not available where they live. So we provide that surgery to them absolutely free.
Wow. So like all over the world, help me out. Again, name a couple like places.
Nigeria, Uganda, Fiends, Bolivia, Honduras. We've cared for 1,600 children around the world. This year is HeartGift's 25th birthday. So we're super excited and have cared for 1,600 children in our 25 years of service.
Goodness.
So it's amazing.
And you just had your event a few weeks ago.
We did.
How do you enjoy the sleep since then?
It's been nice. Sleep is a good thing. Yes, it is. It is a good thing for sure.
So tell us a little bit about your event.
Yeah. So like I said, it's our 25th birthday. So this year was a big blowout anniversary celebration, birthday celebration. And we raised a whole bunch of money and we're really, really excited. Last year, the event hit $1 million. So that was very, very exciting. This year, we were super close to that. So we're just thrilled and so grateful for the generosity that we experienced. You know, it's our mission doesn't run, obviously, without fundraising. So we're just so grateful to the donors that come out and support what we do.
That is fantastic. And I hear so many great stories coming out of Austin. The donor base and the vision of applying what they have and who they are, their time. It's more than just their donations. It's the giving community there is so rich. Okay, so tell me this. You use One Cause. You partner with us. How has it changed your fundraising since you started with us? How many years ago have you started with us?
I'm not sure actually when we started with One Cause. I've been with HeartGift for 5 years.
Oh, and so I think it goes back a little bit.
Yeah, we've been using it at least as long as I've been there. So it's been a while. I don't know that we always used it the way that we're using it now. But now, like I said, we have the one event that we use, I think, all the features that are available through One Cause and have your staff on site with us.
Yes.
And then the rest of our events we do kind of DIY, and it's been amazing. You know, the way that we've been able to engage donors in a platform that's really easy for them to use has been great. You know, we're able to help them. We're able to teach them what we need them to do, and
right.
it's easy for them to digest it. And we tell them what we want. You know, click the link, make a donation through your phone, and it works great. And we were really surprised this year, almost like 75% of people checked out on their phone. So that was kind of a new thing for us because they don't usually do that. So we were excited to do that, and they all covered the credit card fees, which is awesome.
Oh, my word.
I know. So we're excited about that. But yeah, One Cause really helps us to be able to connect with the donors, make it really easy for them to do what we're asking them to do. You know, we love that we can put all the descriptions and the photos and all these amazing live auction items, and it's just really easy to use for our team too. So one of the girls on our team has sort of dubbed herself the One Cause expert, which is amazing.
Okay.
And I'm grateful, and she's training everybody else on how to use it and, you know, really working with the team to make it efficient for us as well.
Man, that is exciting. That is exciting. What is the future of your event? This is an annual event, right?
Mm-hmm.
The big one.
Yep.
And then you said you have a couple where you just kind of go at it on your own throughout the year. What's up for year number 26?
I mean, we've got to keep growing bigger
yeah,
and better. We've got more
it.
Children's lives that need to be saved.
Oh.
So we are so focused on what our mission is and how we can help more babies, you know? So yes, 2026 will be hopefully bigger and better. More people in the room, more people, you know, buying the amazing auction packages that our team puts together and really connecting with the mission. You know, it's a really big deal for me, for our events, that people come and that they have a great time and that they walk away and know what they were there for and that they really connect with the mission.
So good. So important. I'm thrilled. Thank you for describing the dynamic that HeartGift has with One Cause mm-hmm. and One Cause with HeartGift.
Sure.
And that's the partnerships that, frankly, I can tell you this, Christy, every one of us get up in the morning and that is what we think about.
Wow.
It is true.
Well, we're grateful for that. And, you know, it takes all of us to be able to pull off the missions of all of these amazing nonprofits that are here at this conference,
yeah.
You know, and it's to be able to have tools in our tool belt that can help us accomplish the goals is really important. So thank you.
From all of us, you're welcome. But let me wrap up with this. Assume for a minute that I am not in this chair. For those listening from home or work or wherever you are, Christy and I are in two very comfortable white chairs here in the Raise Nation Radio studio in the One Cause booth. But Christy, imagine for a moment I'm not here. It's another nonprofit fundraiser, professional fundraiser who is asking you, what is this One Cause thing? What do you know about it? And should I look into it further? What would you say?
Well, I would for sure say you should look into it. And there's some amazing people here that probably can give you a better sales pitch than I can. But, you know, I would tell them that it's a tool that we have found that has really helped us to execute our events in a way that is easy for our staff and for our donors and the people that we're asking to do things. So, you know, we manage our live auctions, our silent auctions, our raffle items, manage guests inside of One Cause. We can text them. There's a lot of different things that you can do within One Cause that allow you to connect directly with your guests and help them to be familiar with your event and to how they can help you. You know, so I think that that's one of the things that's most important for us is you're not going to make any money if you don't ask for it, right? And so it gives them, gives the guests the opportunity to see all the ways that they can help. So I would say give One Cause a call. Just check it out. See if it might work for your organization.
100%.
Yeah. So thank
you heard
you so
it here.
Much.
Christy Jones, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you for stopping by.
Absolutely. Nice to see you.
All right, we're back here live on the show floor at AFP Icon 2025. I'm your host, Steve Lausch of Raise Nation Radio on the road, and I am so pleased and so proud and so privileged to have Sydney Moss. Sydney, you are yet another AFP award winner. It is so good to have you. Thank you for joining us for a couple minutes this morning.
Thank you for having me.
I want to learn about this award, first of all, right off the bat, and then I cannot wait to dive into a little bit more of your story and what actually drove you and AFP, frankly, to the point where they awarded you with this honor. But tell us a little bit about the award.
Yeah, cool. So it's the Association of Fundraising Professionals Award for Outstanding Youth in Philanthropy. It's really nice to be, you know, recognized for this. You know, I think what I'm doing, which is raising raising money for biliary atresia research, which is a rare liver disease and the number one reason for pediatric liver transplants. Yeah, so that's really cool. I think it's been really nice to be recognized for this award on like more of a national level, because this is such something that really affects such a small population of people. You know, you hear a lot about like cancer and all kinds of different things, which are obviously extremely important. But, you know, in order to really grow awareness for this disease and, you know, help future research, we have to bring awareness to it and make sure that people really know, you know, what the extent to this disease is and how it's really affecting other people in order so that we can, you know, really help patients and grow future research for this disease and kids who need liver transplants and all that kind of stuff. So it's just been really nice to really have something and be recognized on that kind of level.
And you absolutely deserve it. You absolutely deserve it because, and I want our audience to catch this. We talk a lot about this at One Cause, that find what you love to do. Find who you love to be, and then use that to fundraise. Let that be your springboard. And you walked into our booth, and it sat in our chair here, and you carried on your shoulders exactly what you love to do and who you love to be. Tell our audience about that. I can't wait to hear this.
So I started this concert in seventh grade, the summer of seventh grade, and currently I was on the liver transplant wait list. So I was born with biliary atresia, which is a rare liver disease. Again, like I said, it's the number one cause of pediatric liver transplants. And when I was young, I had a Kasai procedure, which basically allowed me to extend my life without having a liver transplant. A lot of infants, when they're first born with BA, they have to have a liver transplant within like the first 2 weeks or first month of being born. So thankfully I had that procedure, but I did know that I would have to have a liver transplant eventually, but obviously didn't know quite when that was going to happen. And so then in seventh grade, I was diagnosed with hepatopulmonary syndrome. A lot of fancy words being used here, but basically... What that is, that's where my liver was basically affecting my lungs and my ability to breathe, which breathing is a very important thing. I like being able to breathe. That's always good. And so basically, that's also super rare. A lot of kids that have biliary atresia often end up having something else going on. So like either a heart problem or kidney problem or something like that. So obviously what mine was something like, you know, with my lungs. And so basically the only cure for that was a liver transplant. And so I ended up being on the wait list in kind of like the midst of the pandemic, which was nice because, you know, not many people were doing much stuff. So I wasn't like missing out on too many things by not being able to go places or whatever, but also a little bit lonely at times. But music has always been something that's been with me and helping not only like during the pandemic, but also like kind of through this challenging time. You know, I like to say that music is kind of like magic, you know. I feel like, you know, it's something positive and uplifting. It's always been there for me. And so during that, you know, I was playing guitar all the time, like kind of mastering some things. I asked some friends from youth group if they wanted to, you know, kind of do a concert, you know, like, hey, I'm doing this. Would you all want to like be interested in singing a couple songs from some people around the neighborhood and maybe raising a couple $1,000s, you know? I asked my guitar teacher and he ended up helping. That was really great. And so yeah, it was just me and like maybe two, three friends and then my guitar teacher that ended up doing something. We did it at the Domini Nature Center, which is like our local like community garden park.
Okay.
And so it was really nice. It was outside. And so that year we had wanted the goal of like $10,000, but then we actually ended up raising more, which was about $13,000, which was really cool. And so it was like a really good success. I had a lot of like positive kinds of affirmations, great support. So I was like, you know what? I think it'd be really cool to kind of do this every single year until I graduate. And I was like, well, I wonder how much money I could raise. So, you know, I just threw it out there of like $100,000. So, but now it's seeming like that will be possible. Today, I'm currently at $75,000 or almost $80,000. And I'm a junior in high school. So I've been doing it every single year. And hopefully I will have raised $100,000 by the time I graduate in 2026, which is next year.
You will do it. So, I know you will. You will. And because folks can't see us today, Sydney came into our studio with her Taylor guitar on her back. And clearly music is something you love. I can tell that. So tell us a little bit more about your foundation. Clearly you use music as your avenue for fundraising. What happens then as you are raising this $100,000, which I am positive that you will reach, by next year. What happens with that money? Where does that go?
Yes.
It is obviously a passion of yours. I know you're excited about it. Tell us about it.
Yes. So like I said, Sydney's Concert for a Cause, it raises money for biliary atresia research, so rare liver disease. And so with the help of my parents, which I couldn't be here without them and all of their support, they helped me set up the Sydney Moss Fund through the Community Foundation of Greater Atlanta. And so it's a 5C3, which allows me to donate to whatever cause I want to. So for the past couple of years, up until I think actually this year, I had been donating directly to CHOA, which is Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. And so there, my leading hepatologist, Dr. Carpin, he was doing research with the causes of BA, which is obviously rare. It's unknown. They're still doing a lot of advancement and research with that. And so now he has left and he's leading and got promoted and doing all kinds of his own stuff at DCU. And so now Dr. Gupta has taken over and she's doing things at Children's more patient focused, which is seeing how liver transplant patients react to certain medicine.
Wow.
I'm on Tacro, which is an anti-rejection medicine that I have to take. So once every couple of hours or twice every day, at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And I have to do that for the rest of my life in order to, kind of suppress my immune system and make sure that my antibodies aren't attacking the organ that's inside of me, that's not mine. And so Dr. Gupta is working on that kind of stuff and seeing, if there's a medication that patients can take only one time a day or, not quite as often, working on that. But Dr. Carpin over at VCU, he's working on more of the causes of BA. So the Sydney Moss Fund has really allowed me to kind of split where that money goes. So half of it will be going to Dr. Gupta at CHOA and half of it will be going to Dr. Carpin.
Oh my word. That's awesome. So has either one of these doctors or their teams joined you at a concert yet?
Yes, Dr. Carpin came a couple of times, or I think once or twice in the earlier years. Obviously, he's up in Virginia now, so it's a little bit hard to get him to come.
I'm sure they can make it. So yes. I was going to say, if they haven't shown up.
Yes, but there have been, when I had my transplant or whatever, a couple of the nurses who were on the floor at the time, they came and they listened and everything. So that was really cool.
That is so great.
Yes.
That is so great. So this is super inspiring, and I just want to capture real quick before we wrap up, for someone that's interested in maybe following you online and just learning a little bit more about your story or seeing pictures of you up on stage in these concerts that are raising funds to drive impact for people that you could really resonate with. Where do I go? Where do I find out more about this?
My own little plug-in. So you can go to Sydney Moss Music. It's on Instagram. There you can find pictures from the concert. I've got a picture of me at the new CHOA, the new hospital building. It's really cool, really fancy. I think it's actually one of the biggest pediatric hospitals in the Southeast, I think.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that's really pretty. And there I have there's a new room there called the Transplant Education Room. And it says from friends and family of Sydney Moss. So it's there from all of the money that I have raised on the Transplant Education Room. So there's a picture of me with that. There's a couple of pictures of me at some of my concerts. I've done some other things, not related to fundraising, but at Eddie's Attic. That's a singer-songwriter kind of thing. I have some of my own music on there. But also the most important thing is the link in my bio, which it's always taking in donations. This year I've raised 18,000, but hoping to raise 20,000.
Let's end with that, is encouraging our listeners to check out Sydney Moss Music on Instagram. Go to the bio, look at the link. And friends, let's get Sydney's $100,000 goal well in the rearview mirror. Help her well execute well over that. So
yes, thank you.
Yeah, of course. It has been an absolute pleasure, Sydney. Thank you for taking some time. I know you have a lot of people that want to spend time with you, with all of the AFP award winners, but you spent that time here with
us.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks for joining us here at the Raise Nation Radio Studio in the One Cause booth at AFP Icon 2025. I'm Steve Lausch from One Cause, and it's been an honor to host Raise Nation Radio. bringing you the voices, the ideas, and the inspiration that are truly elevating impact across the nonprofit world. Huge thanks to AFP and all of the incredible changemakers who joined us this week. Until next time, keep raising your voice, your mission, and your impact.